Coming up on today's Locked on Diamondbacks podcast, what can Evan Longoria provide for the D-backs in 2023? And then talking to Sully Baseball about whether whether the MLB should implement a salary cap, a salary floor, both, neither. Discussing all that with Sully Baseball on today's Locked on Diamondbacks podcast.
Locked on Diamondbacks, your daily Arizona Diamondbacks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Diamondbacks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're listening to who? The always charismatic host of this podcast, Miller Thomas. I'm a multimedia journalist and I'm a graphic designer, so please go check out my website, MillerThomas24, that's my portfolio. And on there, you can see all my latest work, from my photos, to my graphics, to my podcasts, to my writing, anything by Miller Thomas you can find on there. Also follow me on Twitter, at CreatorThomas24 for my personal account, or just look up Locked on Diamondbacks, both Twitter, Instagram for the podcast handle. And of course, thank you for making Locked on Diamondbacks your first listen every day. I would not be able to do this podcast without you, my loyal listeners, because we have officially crossed 300 subscribers on the Locked on Diamondbacks YouTube channel. So shout out to all of the Locked on listeners, the Locked on Diamondbacks listeners, or maybe you're fans of other Locked on podcasts, and then you discovered me and now you're a fan of my podcast as well. I thank all of you. Let's get to 400 subscribers by the end of January. But now I want to talk about Evan Longoria, because the D-backs finally made a move that we have been probably waiting for, wanting to happen. Like, how long have the D-backs linked to a corner infielder or a right-handed bat on the free agent market? You know, a Justin Turner or Evan Longoria. And finally, the D-backs pulled the trigger after waiting. I don't know why they waited so long. I mean, Justin Turner is already off the board. Most of the major free agents are already off the board. I mean, at this point, you could pretty much pick up anyone you want on the free agent market for like $5 million or less. So maybe that's why they chose to do it now, because he's so much cheaper than what he might have been at the beginning of the offseason. But the D-backs signing Evan Longoria to a one-year, $4 million deal with another million potentially in incentives, I thought was the perfect deal for the Arizona Diamondbacks, because we've talked a lot about this kind of topic with Sully Baseball on our crossovers, because this D-backs team is so young and they're not very experienced. Outside of Madison Bumgarner, go up and down this roster, there's not a lot of players with playoff warts on their resume. There's just not a lot of players with playoff experience overall on their resume. If they do have experience, it's not a lot of experience. But Evan Longoria is someone that's been in a lot of big games, a lot of playoff moments, has had big moments in both the end of the regular season to push his team, because I personally remember he was a big reason my other favorite team, the Boston Red Sox, had that major collapse. What was it, like 2011, 2012, where they had like that 9-game lead to start the month of September and just lost it because Tampa Bay got hot in the month of September. I think Evan Longoria had a home run in the final game of the season to clinch the win for the Rays and push them into the playoffs. I was very upset as a child watching that, but Evan Longoria has always been clutch during I think from his first season to his sixth season in Major League Baseball, he was considered like a top 25 player by WRC+. Now, he's not that player any longer because he's in his late 30s. He's like 38 years old. But considering what the D-backs had to pay for him and what the D-backs need from him, this was a perfect match. Evan Longoria already has a house in Arizona. He's already a native of this state. And for what the D-backs need from him, it's not like they're asking for him to turn back the clock to 2009 and look like an all-star again. If Evan Longoria can just do what he did the last two seasons with the San Francisco Giants, that's all the D-backs need, because Longoria is still a solid contact hitter, still got some pop, can still crush left-handed batters, and the D-backs, we know, desperately needed more right-handed batters in their lineup. But now you got Evan Longoria to pair with a Josh Rojas at third base. I think that's just perfect. Like I said before, D-backs roster does not have a lot of playoff experience. So Longoria, just another big boy veteran that could come in and hopefully rub off on some of these younger players. I'm hoping with Longoria and Rojas basically platooning third base, maybe Longoria can rub off some of his defensive elk that he used to have when he was in his prime. Listen, Longoria is not the defender he once was. At this point of his career, he's probably average at best, but hopefully he can at least give Rojas some tips and pointers on how to be a better defensive third baseman, because by the advanced metrics, Josh Rojas was not a very competent defensive third baseman last year. You could even say he was a below average defensive third baseman last year, but it was also like his first time playing third base, didn't really do it in the minor league. So I'm hoping Evan Longoria, Josh Rojas, they could just go sit in the dugout, go sit on the bench and just look at tape. Longoria could just pull up the iPad and be like, you see what you did here? You should have taken this angle and this and that. And so I'm hoping Longoria can rub some of that defensive IQ onto a Josh Rojas. But offensively, I mean, those two could just be a match made in heaven, because of course, Rojas is someone that is slightly better against right-handed batters. Evan Longoria is better against left-handed, so they could easily platoon depending on who's on the mound. And the D-backs are also not locked in to a DH. Like, it could be Gurriel, Jake McCarthy, it could be Kyle Lewis, it could be Evan Longoria. So Longoria and Rojas are definitely going to have opportunities to play with each other. You're definitely going to see Longoria at the DH spot with the D-backs this season. And the D-backs, if they could get 100 games out of Longoria, because this is someone that has dealt with injuries the last couple years, it's a big reason. Like, if he played 130 games the last couple years, Longoria's numbers might have looked pretty nasty, and you might accuse this man of taking steroids, because his numbers in like 89 games last year were pretty damn good. And I think over the last 170 games, if you combine his last two seasons, he's got a WRC plus of 118. So that's pretty solid for Evan Longoria, who's in his late 30s. So even though, like, the exit velocity, some of the hard contact stats, some of those are definitely starting to wane a little bit as Evan Longoria gets older, but they're still pretty good. He still, according to StatCast, has an exit velocity above 90 miles an hour, still a pretty solid hard hit percentage as well. So Evan Longoria definitely can still provide some pop in the lineup, still provide that veteran presence, and just can hopefully rub off that defensive IQ on a Josh Rojas. And then you're going to see Evan Longoria playing third base. You're going to see him playing DH. And then if you just get 100 games from Evan Longoria, that's all you need. You don't need Evan Longoria to play 150 games anymore. If he gives you the same production this season in 100 games like he did last year with the Giants, that's a win. That's worth the $4 million. You don't need him to go out there and be a superstar. You just need him to be a productive player. And at this point of his career, yeah, Evan Longoria is definitely in the decline, but I don't think he's washed. Anyone who's telling you Evan Longoria isn't good anymore, I don't think has been watching. Longoria does deal with injuries. That's probably one of the biggest issues he has, but the D-backs have good depth with Josh Rojas, of course, that calls him man third. Emmanuel Rivera, like, I don't know what the D-backs are going to do with him, because Evan Longoria last season did miss the beginning of the season where I think a hurt finger, and then he had like an oblique strain at the end of the season. He had like a hamstring strain as well. So as he gets older, those injuries are definitely going to start to pile up. But with Rojas, the Perdomos, the Ahmeds, the Manuel Rivera's, the Martes, like, the D-backs definitely have the depth to weather an Evan Longoria injury when it does come. So I'm not worried from that perspective. And I just love this deal overall. The D-backs now, when you look at their payroll, it's going to be projected at $109 million, which is last year was at $91 million. So D-backs spending a little bit more money this offseason, just a little bit, increasing that payroll next year. And, you know, the guys like Corbin Carroll hits, if the rookie pitchers in their starting rotation hits, I like this D-backs team as a fringe wildcard contender, as I've been saying all offseason. I think this Evan Longoria move just solidifies the edges of this roster and, again, really crystallizes that the D-backs are the best. Let me take this back. The D-backs are the third best team in the NL West, and the Evan Longoria move might have solidified it. I love the move. What I might have preferred Justin Turner, I don't know, but I think Evan Longoria coming to a state where he already has a home, already familiar with the D-backs. Perfect move by Mike Hazen and the D-backs.
All right, last segment here. We're here with Miller Thomas. He's right over there.
Hello.
He's the young one. I'm Sully. I'm the good-looking one.
I was going to say, the handsome one.
That's right. I'm so damn handsome. Let me just tell you what I think. I hear a lot of people complain about – you hear there are three camps of complaining that I've heard this offseason. The Mets are spending too much. Small market teams are not spending enough, or even big market teams like Boston. And teams like the Braves get players for a relative steal to sign long term. In other words, you can't do anything right. Mm-hmm. Spend too much, spend too little, spend just enough. Someone's going to complain. I have said I want to remove the stigma of buying a championship. Buy them. You're a billionaire. You're doing a game we all wish we can play, and that is play with baseball cards, except have them be real baseball players. You know, you're not doing a fantasy league. You're in a reality league. You get to put together your team and try to put the best team out there, and you've got billions of dollars. Isn't that the whole point? The whole point is to do that. It isn't an investment. You don't see Warren Buffett investing in baseball teams. You're doing it because you got a lot of money, you got a big ego, and you want to be the king of that city. That's why teams get bought, even if they are the supposed small market teams, because you want to have that fun thing. This has been the case forever. The notion of a small revenue team, I'm not buying it. And by the way, whenever baseball owners have been asked to open their books to show how they're losing money, those books have remained shut because they're all making money. And if a franchise like the San Diego Padres can suddenly become a large market team, then maybe we shouldn't be wringing our hands how a giant metropolis like Minneapolis is like, oh, we're just a small market team with a gigantic region and da 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 da. I don't believe, as I said before, I don't believe in creating artificial limits to what a player can make or what a player can sign for, because we don't have similar limits to franchises. There's no limits to what a team can sell their team for, what their owner can sell their team for, what they can do there. So why the hell should a player have to do that? And I think the best way to make those limits is to show that maybe signing 12-year deals isn't the smartest thing. Act like the Braves. But, and don't worry, this is not a filibuster. I will yield my time. But I want to lay this out here.
I'm in awe.
I think I've never believed in a salary cap ever. I think it's, we don't see that salary caps in other leagues make for more teams winning titles. Just as many teams play in the World Series, many more teams play in the World Series than play in the Super Bowl. And you've seen since 2010, half of Major League Baseball teams have played in at least one World Series, and none of those teams are called the Yankees. So we've seen a tremendous amount of, teams can have windows of championships in ways that we've never seen in football, or especially not in basketball, where it seems like the same team, over and over and over again. But that being said, if the people who are adamant to have a ceiling and to have limits and things like that at the top have to also agree there has to be a bottom. There has to be an entry fee. There has to be, it's kind of like I can't go up to the big dealer table in Vegas and say, all right, you're the high rollers. Well, I've got $5.22. Can I play? No, you've got to, there has to be a salary floor. You can't have a disgrace that we've seen where like Cleveland putting out a team that could win the pennant with a bottom five payroll is a disgrace. Year in and year out, the same teams at the bottom of the payroll. You know what? There should be, there has to be a penalty for that too, for not investing in your team, for putting a minor league product out there. And if you collect any money from the the luxury tax, that money has to go to your major league roster. That money taxed from another team's major league roster has to go into your major league roster. And you have to show how you spent that on your major league roster. Not, oh, we spent it on this international thing or something like that. No, you have to show that you're using that to improve your team that's on the field, to make an entertaining product. So you don't have a tomato can. So you don't have a minor league team playing in the major leagues.
Wow.
I yield my time.
He yields his time. Yes, let me first say, I don't think the issue is the Mets spending money. I don't think teams spending money in the offseason and going after stellar players is ever the problem. We want to see the New York Mets spend all this money on free agents. I don't care if they spend $1 billion this offseason. I want to see the San Diego Padres with that threesome that they already have in their lineup add a Xander Bogaerts to it, okay? I want to see the Yankees, evil empire, go out there and sign a Carlos Rodon to a fat franchise. I want to see stars team up and make super teams. But you know what I want even more than that? Because guess what? The salary cap is not going to help anybody. Those teams that like to spend money in the offseason, they're still going to spend money in the offseason. They're still going to get the best players. The issue that I have with the MLB offseason is teams that don't spend money, is the D-backs who've only signed a Miguel Castro this offseason, is the Miami Marlins, who we feel like have a great rotation, may not even be that far from competing, and have yet to sign a free agent this offseason. I don't think a salary cap will do anything for baseball, but there definitely needs to be some sort of floor. We need to make these teams spend money and get competitive. Now, I know you hate the term limits on contracts, but I think these quote unquote small market teams would be more likely to spend money if it was a 5-year deal versus a 10-year deal. But I do want to dispel the myth that there are small market teams in Major League Baseball, because I've discussed this on the pod before. There are no small market teams. There are only cheap owners. If every team had a Stephen Cohen as their owner, every team in Major League Baseball would be spending money. When Ken Kendrick bought the D-backs, they were worth around $300 to $400 million. Now, if he sells the D-backs, they're worth over $1 billion. He tripled his money in his investment in the D-backs. These MLB franchises are worth so much money. If you can't afford to put a competitive product on the field, if you can't afford to spend money in the offseason, you should sell your major league team. There are plenty of billionaires out there who are willing to come in and spend money in the offseason. Sully Baseball is willing to drop $2 billion on the Arizona Diamondbacks to come in and have a $300 million payroll. No more excuses for small market teams. Owners, get your money up, make more investments in the stock market to make more money, or sell your major league team for $2 billion, because there will be someone out there willing to come in and match the Stephen Cohens of the world. And if you want to bet on Evan Longoria making an all-star team in 2023, you need to head to betonline.net, because it's your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from pro football to college bowl season to basketball and World Cup. We've got it all at betonline.net. I'm probably not placing a bet for Evan Longoria to be an all-star next season, because that just feels like I'm losing money, but I will place a bet next Sunday when I wake up and I check the NFL slate of games and I see the Saints are playing their final regular season game of the year. Guess what? I'm going to put a few schmeckles down on the Saints money line to win. And if you want to do so as well, go to betonline.net. If you love sports podcasts, you can even find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info in. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts.
See this?
What's that?
My Super Lotto. It's there with my Super Lotto tickets.
All right.
Needs to come through. I'm going to become majority owner of the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Oh, all right. Yeah, you probably still need a little group. Probably still need a couple more people. I don't know what the Powerball is sitting at today.
Yeah, well, you know, get you, get...
all right.
We'll get H-Town Wheelhouse and Javier Reyes and...
Oh.
Get Stacy Gutsulius. We'll just turn it into the Locked On We'll buy the team. We'll be the official, and we'll change the stadium to Locked On Stadium.
Oh, okay. Locked On Ownership Group. Then we get the little Locked On Stadium. All right, I'm into this.
Is there a hotel attached to the park in Phoenix?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay, I thought maybe I could live at the ballpark.
There's a parking garage. You could live in your car.
Yeah, after I've spent all the money on the team, I should probably be living in my car. My car's paid for. All right. Well, look, we do agree on that. And one of the other teams that I thought was going to be spenders was this offseason was going to be Baltimore. Mm. Well, Baltimore finally put together a winning team. They have a nice little core of players that they could build upon. But there was a little bit of ill will, of course, when they trade away Lopez and they trade away Mancini instead of improving the team at the deadline, that they traded away players. I thought that they'd be able to quell some of that and say, hey, look, we still had a winning season. We got a few young players back for them. And now we signed a couple of veterans and we're going to make a run at it. And they did nothing of the sort.
No.
And they have the money to do it. And they have the ability to do it. And they have the reason to do it. Signing one or two players, not even talking about bringing in Judge or bringing in Xander Bogaerts or Correa or Rodon or someone like that. Just a couple of decent players coming into there to send a message to the fans that, okay, you're going to fund this summer. We've gone a long way to selling some tickets and selling some, you know, Orioles memorabilia for Christmas time. You got to be able to have an entry fee. You got to be able to say, here's what it is. And, you know, I love what the Premier League, the soccer Premier League has in England, that the bottom teams.
Regulation.
Yeah, go to the minor leagues and the top teams of the minor league come to the majors. And I would love to be able to say, God, we better start winning some games. Other words, we're going to be, you know, Baltimore is going to be a minor league city and like Syracuse or Worcester or, you know, or Edmonton will be a major league city. And, you know, I love that. Give the incentive. Give an incentive at the end of the year to not be a bad team.
Yeah, I'm shocked that the Orioles really haven't made any moves. Maybe I'm not too shocked because I feel like the Orioles are kind of like the American League version of the D-backs. I feel like both of these teams are like, we're not going to spend a bag this offseason. We're not going to go out there and sign any mega free agents. But it's like, why not at least add some veterans to round out our rosters? Why not at least spend a few smeckles? Like the Orioles were pretty much like in the wild card race until like the final 3 weeks of the season. And like after the trade deadline, they're like, you know what? We really don't want to make the playoffs anyway. We're okay. Just sitting on the back burner for another year. So I don't know why they didn't want to go more all in on this offseason. I feel like they probably know they're not like a World Series contender, but there were some moves, some ancillary moves you could have made on the outside to at least improve your team and get yourself into the fringe wildcard contention once again. But I guess the Orioles didn't want to do that. They're doing it like the D-backs. They want to slow marinate this thing. I've said that word at least one time on every podcast we've done the last month. And so I think they just want to let this thing grow organically and just wait. And then maybe they're just a team waiting in the wings. And then there's a free agent that comes available on the market. Maybe they're looking at the Boston Red Sox, looking at Devers, and they're just waiting in the wings to go after a young star player like that. Maybe they don't want to go out there and spend money on a 30-year-old free agent in the offseason. Maybe they would rather trade for a young star like Rafael Devers. So I don't know exactly what Baltimore's plan is here, but they showed a lot last year, and they might not be too far away from contending if they add some quality pieces to that roster.
Well, look at quality piece to the Locked On podcast roster will always be this guy right here, Miller Thomas. Right. Doing something different with your hair today.
Oh, yeah, got in some braids. Mama
some braids in there. Okay, I almost didn't recognize you. Mm. Almost didn't recognize you. How big can you get it?
It gets pretty big. I got like a mohawk right now. So it gets to about, if you go on Locked On Dimebacks, Locked On MLB right now, you can see me doing some fake gestures with my hands, but it gets about yay high, I want to say.
Yeah, I tried at one point to grow my hair long and my hair grows up. Mm. And it was not a good look.
But you could get a cornrow too. It could be the Locked On Cornrows brothers, Solly, the Marley brothers.
I've heard of worse ideas.
Okay.
Not many, but I have. Hey, I tell people where they can listen to your show.
Hey, follow me at Locked On Dimebacks on all your podcasting platforms. Follow me on Twitter for my personal account at CreatorThomas24, or look up Locked On Dimebacks both Twitter, Instagram for the podcast handle, and of course look up Locked On Dimebacks on YouTube as well.
And you can follow us at Locked On MLB Pods on Twitter and on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram at Sully Baseball. podcast. And please subscribe to us on YouTube. And we apparently had 700,000 downloads.
Whoa.
In 2022. I have no idea if that's a lot. Oh. I don't know if that's good or not. But that does mean more than my mom is listening to the show. I have more people than my mom listening to the show. So, hey, next year, we've cleared 700,000 downloads for 2022. I got a goal. 2023, 700 million
downloads. Oh, whoa.
Ambitious? Yes. Insane? Yes. Probably impossible? Probably. Do I understand how downloads work? Not at all. But thank you for listening to us. And, I'm going to still have a few episodes up here. We have on New Year's Eve, I have a very special Locked On MLB New Year's Eve episode with H-Town Wheelhouse of Locked On Astros, Ooh. A man who does not want 2022 to end.
I like
and that. So we do that. And then on New Year's Day, January 1st, at the stroke of midnight on the West Coast, when you're done celebrating, turn on Locked On MLB. We'll be breaking down the updated version of the suffering index, and we'll see which franchises are suffering the most and in the most need for winning a title, and which fan base is suffering the least. I have found ways to quantify suffering, and I've been doing so for the last few years. So, on behalf of Miller Thomas of Locked On Diamondbacks, my name is Paul Francis Sullivan. I am the host of Locked On MLB. Thank you for listening, and let's fist pump ourselves. Goodbye.
That's it for this edition of the Locked On Diamondbacks podcast. Come back on Friday for more Diamondbacks news coverage and insight. Shout out Sully Baseball for hopping on today's pod. Thank you for making Locked On Diamondbacks your first listen every day. Go make your second listen of the day, the Locked On MLB Prospects podcast with my boy Lindsey Crosby. He helped me get the most watched, most viewed YouTube video on the Locked On Diamondbacks YouTube channel with our discussion of the Dalton Varsho trade. So go check out that video. Go check out Lindsey Crosby's channel, Locked On MLB Prospects. Come back on Friday for more Diamondbacks news coverage and insight. As always, stay safe, stay healthy. Deuces.